Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Constellation Kegger. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio from the studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Boise to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, DA. Everything we saying, DA. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How's everybody doing today? Thanks so much for joining us. We are stacked today, football-wise, as you might imagine. We'll have Steve Palazzolo from Pro Football Focus. Steve will join us in hour number 3 to go over some of the inside metrics, analytics, and numbers that popped out after week 9 of the NFL. Throughout the college football season, we have wondered whether Willie Taggart will survive year number 2. The answer is no. He gets fired. And so now the question is, who takes the FSU job? We'll talk about that coming up later on in the hour. Also in the NFL, Trubisky is a mess. Does he finish the season as a starter? The Jets, perhaps their lowest moment since the Rich Kotite era. The Browns, take your pick of which is the most embarrassing moment of the weekend. And so much more on the NFL. I know you guys want to jump in on here on the phones, so we can do that. Your phone number. Questions, comments, complaints, concerns after the NFL or college football weekend. Here we go. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. But of course, we have to begin with the Sunday night game. Patriots and Ravens had the feel of a playoff matchup coming in. It had the feel of a playoff intensity during the game last night. And it is undoubtedly a statement win by Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. That Patriots defense that have been so good up to this point in time gives up 37 points. Now, there was a defensive score in there as well with the Humphrey fumble return for the touchdown. But the Ravens end up scoring 37 against the Pats yesterday and win going away. Lamar Jackson was brilliant, accounting for touchdowns with his legs, with his arm, big plays, and even though he didn't need to do too much through the air, when you put it all together, very obviously Lamar Jackson was a problem for the Patriots defense. Let's start here. Is Lamar Jackson the NFL MVP? It's where we begin. Your cold open.
Jackson takes the snap. He wants to keep it. Tries to squeeze off right guard and tackle. Pushes his way to the one. Backs in. Touchdown! Lamar Jackson with an unbelievably patient run. And then a burst of power. And the pyrotechnics are firing at the station.
I'm trying to win versus anybody I play. I don't really dwell on one player or, you know, it's just this guy I want to beat. You know, like I said before, that's still the GOAT. No, nothing changed that. I'm happy to get the win, of course. Especially at M&T Bank Stadium, so it's pretty cool, but I don't really care because it's to get Tom Brady. I just want to win.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open
Well, that was Jerry Sandusky, voice of the Ravens on Ravens Radio. That was Lamar Jackson after his 3-touchdown effort last night, 1 through the air and 2 on the ground. One thing that I really love about Lamar Jackson was that it does not feel like any of this success is going to his head. It does not feel like any of this success, individually or team-wise, is making him arrogant or puffing up his head too big or making him not focus on the little things. It just feels like this is a guy that continues to be smart, grind, become a better football player, and not take anything for granted. And saving great moments for big games against big opponents. And the play last night where he drops back to pass, darts left. The Patriots have two defenders on the outside that look perfectly positioned to hem him in. And he stutter steps and darts through them and then runs down the sideline for the first down. You just said you can't defend that and you cannot teach that. And Lamar Jackson is that type of special. He is MVP worthy. He is MVP caliber. Why? Because that team believes he will make the play. That team believes he is their leader. And that guy makes something out of nothing and a lot out of something. He is incredible. And last night was a statement. Look, many people have the Patriots pegged as the best team in the NFL. And Lamar Jackson and his offense just put up 30 points against him and another 7 on the defensive side of things. I think that last night was also a pretty obvious referendum on the people that called the Patriots defense historically great, or that this was a historically great Patriots team. Look, they're really good. They're always really good. And even taking last night out of it, we know that the Patriots are going to be there at the end. We know they're going to be in the playoffs, and we know they're going to be a really tough out in the playoffs. But as you know around here, I never bought the idea that this Patriots defense was historically great, because their level of competition just couldn't tell us that. Now, this is not a slam or a slight on the Patriots, because you can only play who's in front of you. But as I said, they might be historically great, but we wouldn't know that based on the opponents that they've played. And this is a little bit like college. When you are the Clemson Tigers and you roll through the ACC, it's hard to say whether this Clemson team is as good as previous incarnations or it's just good based on the level of competition. And that's what we've seen here with the Pats. I mean, the Patriots throttled the Steelers, the Dolphins, the Jets, Washington, the Giants, the Jets again, and the Browns. None of those are playoff teams. The one playoff team that they beat is the Bills. And maybe the Steelers find their way in there. But look, that was a team that began the year 1-4. The Patriots beat one playoff caliber team this year, and that was the one game they did not look very good against the Bills. So my whole point is maybe the Patriots are really good, but there's just no way to know that. And last night, I think, hammered home, let's throw out this idea that the Patriots defense is the 85 Bears, which they've been statistically compared to. Let's throw out the idea that they are kind of next level great defensively, and let's just look at what happened last night. The Patriots are really good. Last night does not change that. They'll beat it at the end. You're going to have to beat them in the playoffs. We know this. The Ravens played a hell of a football game. They played a hell of a football game. And if they end up meeting in the playoffs, even if it is in Foxborough, I think the Ravens are the one team that's going to give the Patriots real problems. And maybe there's other teams in the AFC. Maybe Mahomes comes back for the Chiefs. But the one team that historically has given the Patriots problems is the Ravens. And primarily that is John Harbaugh has been the one constant there. And again, the Ravens are the one team that have the one coach that aren't inherently broken at the knees because they play the Patriots. Harbaugh always has teams that play the Pats really tough. Then I would imagine the same exact thing happens in the postseason. But Lamar Jackson last night was special. The Ravens put forth really special effort. Defensively, they were great against the ground. They hit Brady as well. They made Brady look old on a couple of throws. And that's how you have to beat the Patriots. And the Ravens executed all of those things pretty flawlessly. Really impressive win by Lamar Jackson. Really impressive win by the Ravens. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. One of the most stunning news is of the NFL weekend and what happened yesterday, the Packers. Green Bay goes to L.A., and that was very obviously 80 to 90% Packer fans. And for a season with the Chargers that seems all but lost already, for the Packers to be that bad, that ugly throughout the entire game, for Aaron Rodgers to have Davante Adams back and throw for 61 yards entering the fourth quarter was staggering. I know the Packers were a pick by many survival pool entrants. I mean, the Packers going to a place where they were going to feel like they were at home against a Chargers team that seemed totally lost with how that offense has been humming seemed like an easy one. And instead, Rodgers, that offense was trash. Absolute trash. And it was really interesting after the game that Rodgers pointed to maybe people, players in the organization not having the proper focus or attention to detail because of the week in Los Angeles. That maybe it was L.A. and the nightlife. Maybe it was that the Packers were 7-2 and feeling themselves real good. But that Packers team wasn't ready for this moment because they couldn't handle prosperity. And the fact that Rodgers wasn't even really frustrated last night after the game. Instead, he was a little bit like, told you so, told you so. In some ways, makes me think it's a good thing for the Packers. Because I think Rodgers has a really good finger on the temperature, on the pulse of what they need and what they don't. And I think Rodgers realized we got a young team or a lot of new faces in this locker room. We've got a new coach. People are feeling themselves. We're 7-1, but at times we certainly haven't seemed dominant. We're going to L.A., and we just got a big slice of humble pie. And we needed that. Because now maybe the kids will wake up. Maybe these young guys will wake up and realize we haven't done anything yet. I thought that was interesting because with how bad Rodgers was, and as bad as that Packers offense was the entire day, I mean, Rodgers finishes with a 161. The fact that after the game, he kind of matter-of-factly dissected, yeah, I don't think we were ready. I think that these guys need to get their heads screwed on straight. Says something about how this could actually be, if there is a positive, a moment where he can shake the guys and wake them up a little bit. But what a grotesque effort by the Packers yesterday. Absolutely gross. But there was a lot of gross efforts, and we'll go into one of them coming up here next. The Cleveland Browns. You know what? If you're going to tweet threats at critics on Twitter, then be prepared to be waived, which he was today. We'll get into what exactly is the least impressive or the most embarrassing, the biggest disaster of this weekend for the Browns coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Spencer from slot left in motion. The offset eye is set left. Now Spencer comes back left in the jet sweep. They fake the counter right. Ball over the middle, caught by Noah Fant. Fant running hard, runs right through somebody. Fant runs out of a race, and here we go. Fun race, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Denver!
I don't think we got anybody there that's going to give up or throw in a towel. You know, we still got 8 games left, so we need to do something with those 8 games. But it starts with one. Again, it goes back. It starts with one game.
Yeah. That one game ain't happening. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, there's so many different ways you can listen to the show. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all these wonderful terrestrial affiliates. Also, Sirius XM, Channel 206. And you can listen to us on your phone. Use radio.com as an app. use Apple Music, use the CBS Sports app, or watch us at watchda.com. You could also tell your smart speaker, play CBS Sports Radio. Our Ask the Pros question comes to us later on in the show, so tweet it at me, DA on CBS, and we'll pick a question later on and answer it. Be listening later on in the show, and think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service, and O'Reilly better parts, better prices every day. I mean, let us count the ways. This is just another lost week in a lost season for a lost organization in Cleveland. This morning, Jermaine Whitehead is predictably waived. He is released. He is cut because of his social media Twitter screed that he went off on with everybody, including a member of the Cleveland Browns broadcast team, our friend Dustin Fox from 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland. Handles pre- and post-game. Tweeted that Whitehead's effort on tackling was a joke. Whitehead went after him on Twitter. Threatened some violence in there. Called him a slur. All types of goodness coming out of the Browns. But was that the worst moment of the day? Because you also had, in the middle of a lost season and another lost week offensively, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham making sure they had their individually painted cleats ready to go in the first half, not cleared by the NFL, and being told by the NFL at the half, if you don't change your cleats for the second half, you won't be allowed to play. So would it be that Landry and Odell still found the time and the energy to make sure they had their illegal cleats ready to go for a 2-5, now 2-6 team? Or was it the fact that the Browns were 1-5 in the red zone, 1-5 in the red zone, and once again had an offense that bogged down when it mattered most? Baker Mayfield clearly regressing again, and a loss to a 2-win Denver squad, which effectively put the final nail in the coffin of the Browns perhaps being a playoff caliber team. The Browns lost to another 2-win team with Brandon Allen as its quarterback. What exactly is the low moment of this week? You know, you do this job long enough and you expect anything to happen. You expect not to be surprised. And I can't say I'm surprised that this Brown season has gotten this ugly. But I do have to be a little surprised that it is just so Brownsy. It's like if one of these things might happen, okay, you'd be like, yeah, that's so Browns. If two of these things happen, yeah, it's really Browns. But when all of these things happen every week, it's just so Brownsy. We came into a year where the Browns were supposed to be division champs, playoff team, win games in January. It was all going to be fixed. They had such a good second half of the season last year. They had finally found their franchise quarterback, and they had promoted the guy that oversaw an offense that was so good in the second half of the year, and they had brought in Odell Beckham, and this was a franchise ready to take that next step. And everything is a disaster. I mean everything. You've got a member of the team telling fans to show up at the practice facility to fight. You've got a member of the team going after a member of the pregame show and threatening violence. You've got Freddie Kitchens, who seems like he's pretty well in understanding that he's going to get fired after the season. It looks like that he's there. And you've got a question about Baker Mayfield of, was last year the fluke? Because this is so bad. I really don't care what cleats Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham wear. I really don't. If they want to wear Joker-themed cleats, if they want to wear Grimace-themed cleats, if they want the Hamburglar on there. I don't care. Honestly, it's the least of my worries. And so I'm not criticizing them for wanting to have their own individuality. God bless. But they deserve criticism because this is what they're thinking about. This is a 2-5 season that is collapsing around them. And what is Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham's priority coming into the game? Let's make sure we get our drip on. Let's make sure we get our cleats out there. Let's make sure we're wearing our stuff. Like Odell, and I get it, there's a piece of this that's kind of a pathetic LeBron, Muhammad Ali social justice thing by Odell. He's like trying to highlight this type of, in his mind, hypocrisy by the league. You know, this kind of, I'm going to shed light and draw attention to the silliness within the league. Okay, you know, I'm going to fight for what I feel is my individual rights. And I'm sure in Odell's twisted, ego-stricken mind, he thinks that, yeah, I'm the next crusader. Muhammad Ali fought for stuff, and LeBron's doing that now, and I'm fighting for stuff. But let's think about this. Every week of the year, Odell has been in violation with his uniform. It was the watch. It was the knees and the socks. It's been the cleats. And in his mind, look, they're picking on me. They're coming after me. But it can't be every week in the middle of this season, and he's handing the goat cleats to Tom Brady last year or last week. It's like, at what point is this an Odell problem? Because he's the one putting himself in the middle of this constantly. I mean, you're 2-5 yesterday. Do you really need to challenge the design of the cleats via the NFL? Is that the moment? I don't know. I don't know what's most disgusting about this Brown season. I think it's just that Freddie Kitchens is so in over his head that he has so little control over what happens on the field and off the field. And it's all coming apart. And very obviously, Freddie has no way to keep it from spilling over the lines. He has no idea. And the football's bad, and the quarterback's bad, and the offense is bad, and the penalties are bad, and the losses are bad, and everything's bad, and that has to go to the head coach for not having any way. I mean, when he keeps saying execution, it's just execution, it's execution. These guys practice well, they work hard. Well, if it's execution every week, it might be your fault, okay? You know, you can get away with that. Like, Belichick last night can say, well, we didn't execute, we got to coach better. And you go, all right. But if Freddie Kitchens every week says it's execution, it's just execution, maybe you're not coaching your guys to execute properly then, because what are you changing? It is such an unbelievable Browns nightmare. And it can't stop getting worse. And every week you think it's just going to be a quiet week. It's a louder week of noise. I think the ugliest part about this is that Freddie is so helpless. As a head coach, he is helpless. He does not know or is not smart enough to figure out how to fix things. That is the scariest part. He doesn't know how to control his guys. He doesn't know how to get his guys to execute. He doesn't know how to make his quarterback better. He doesn't know. And that's the scariest part. He doesn't know or isn't smart enough or talented enough to change this. And the whole thing is on fire. Mraz, if you could point your finger at what the ugliest part of this week's Brown's mess is. And Whitehead was released today after threatening everybody who would be on Twitter with him to a fight in the parking lot.
Well, it's hard not to go with the obvious. Whitehead is the ugliest part of this mess. But if we just strip this thing down for a second, coming off that loss to New England, coming off everything that happened with Denver and Joe Flacco, they were facing Brandon Allen making his first career start.
And another lost franchise with a head coach that might be gone after the year.
It's not like they just went into, again, a well-coached team, good quarterback, bad scene in Denver. they got gift wrapped at the perfect layup, get right week, get your season back on track. And they came out in that first quarter like they had no idea how to play defense. And Brandon Allen is threading the needle all over the place. And to me, for all the problems they have offensively, where is the big bad Browns defense with a pass rush feature in Myles Garrett? They couldn't have been more lost. They had no clue how to tackle, and that to me is alarming. You let Greg Williams walk out the door because you wanted to make sure Baker was coddled with Freddie Kitchens as your head coach. Well, guess what? Your defense sucks, and they're just as to blame for everything else that's wrong.
Brandon Allen was a sixth-round draft pick out of Arkansas.
Arkansas hasn't been good my entire life.
Arkansas might be relegated to Conference USA after the season. Brandon Allen just beat the Browns. Brandon Allen just beat the Browns. It couldn't get worse, except you know it's going to get worse. It's like, what happens next? This week, Odell threatens to choke Freddie Kitchens? Like, that's definitely on the table.
Would not be shocked. Also, how about what Baker Mayfield showing up to the postgame press conference looking like a reporter in 1976?
Baker Mayfield looks like he's given up on life. He's shaved everything except his mustache. He's wearing an oversized trench coat.
Very pale, too.
Really pale. I mean, the guy has given up on life. He's Costanza wearing sweatpants. And you know something's on the table this week. Definitely something bad's going to happen in Cleveland this week. Absolutely something bad's going to happen. You just know it. Like Odell gets into a Ferrari, drives to California, and just like holds himself up like a Unabomber below ground for weeks on end. Won't come out, send something cryptic, some tweet comes out from Jarvis Landry, something cryptic. Something's going to happen. You know this. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, little college football news. Florida State has fired Willie Taggart. They got a lot of money to do that. Now, who could take that job? There's some interesting names that were floated around today and over the weekend. And one of them is a very, very good coach in a Group of Five conference that would never want to see their head coach leave for greener pastures. We'll talk about that and the Urban Meyer connection coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Can we do it? Let's see if we can do it. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio, Jim Rome coming up next. Mraz is clinging to life now as we try to kill him via eggnog, ladies and gentlemen.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, we are coming up on the holidays, and it is not beyond us to try to kill Mraz with eggnog. That is on the table. 42 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, you can listen to full episodes of the DA Show by going to iTunes or radio.com. Or our website, cbssportsradio.com. Full episodes in podcast form there. Florida State cobbles together nearly $20 million to fire Willie Taggart after another train wreck game, this against Miami over the weekend. And let me just start here. We've had Willie Taggart on the show before. And I thought what he did at South Florida was great. I mean, at Western Kentucky and South Florida, Willie Taggart, phenomenal, really was the perfect hire for both of those schools. Willie knew how to recruit, knew how to coach, put it all together, totally positive, energetic guy, smart guy, cool guy. It worked. And when he got hired at Oregon, you could understand it. You know, Oregon was a Power Five program, but searching for the same splash, the same excitement that they had when Chip was there and then the early days of Helfrich. Looking for that. And Willie Taggart was shiny. Willie Taggart had turned around USF and turned around Western Kentucky, and he was exciting. He's a really cool guy to talk to. He's a really smart guy. He's a really, he wants to do things the right way. You know, there's a lot to like about Willie Taggart. So I didn't mind USF trying, or Oregon rather, trying to go out and hire USF's coach. It felt a little beneath Oregon, but, you know, Willie Taggart was shiny and exciting, and they needed that. And Willie Taggart was there one year, and there was definitely a jury that was still out on him. Is he a Power 5 coach? Is he a Power 5 coach at a level where you're expected at Oregon to compete to win the Pac-12? You know, this is not Oregon State. This is Oregon. And for a decade, they were one of the most exciting and talked about programs in the country. And was he that? I mean, he was an 8-5 coach. But, you know, Oregon was going to give him some time. And let's see if he's more than an 8-5 coach at Oregon. And when Florida State hired him after 1 year, that felt wrong. It felt premature because we didn't even know if he was a good coach at the Power 5 level. And the Florida State job, for all of its flaws, is a top 10 job in America. I mean, it's not Alabama or LSU. It's not Michigan or Ohio State. It's not USC or Oklahoma. Maybe it's not Texas or Auburn. Maybe it's not Florida. But, my God, it is a job that, think about the conference. You only have to be the second best team in the conference by being better than Virginia? I mean, who do you got to be better than? To be better than everybody but Clemson. To be the second best team in the conference, you only have to be 70% of what Florida State can be, which is a national champion. They can be a national champion. You've only got to be 70% of that to be the second best team in the ACC and be competing for a conference championship every year and at least have the game against Clemson be who gets the ACC title game every year. They can't even do that. Willie Taggart was a bust. And look no further than his record against all of his rivals. I mean, Clemson completely kicked his ass both years. And Miami and Florida, they're just not in that conversation. And it's so sad. It is so unbelievably sad that Florida State is this sad. So while it's a lot of money to pay up, $20 million that you've got to cobble together to say, okay, we're going to buy them out right now. I mean, look, here's my big takeaway. Do I think it was going to get better under Willie Taggart? Not really. Do I think it's crazy for a state institution and in a day and age of college athletics where we say, well, we can't have these players mobilized to monetize themselves? Well, you just found $20 million from boosters to buy out the coach. So seems to me that there's a lot of money kicking around. All right, if you can find the money, you can buy him out. It seems like a crazy waste of money. But do I think it was going to get better in Tallahassee? Not really. And was it really ugly and not palatable? Sure. Now, here's the problem. Florida State has been left behind by Clemson in the conference. They've been left behind by Florida in the state. FSU's administration is a joke. The way they've allowed the Booster Club, the Seminole Booster Club, to have that much influence and power is a joke. And FSU has administrative problems that is going to scare away a lot of people. Whether they want Urban Meyer or not, Urban Meyer's not going there. He's going to have a better option if he wants to come back, namely USC. Yahoo Sports and Pete Thamel listed out potential candidates. They listed James Franklin. I don't think James Franklin is going to leave Penn State for that job. I think what he's got cooking at Penn State, while he does have to continually battle Ohio State, is the same thing of battling Clemson. And I think he feels like he's got a better structure to succeed at Penn State, even if the recruiting would be way better in Tallahassee. Mario Cristobal, speaking of Oregon. But I think Mario, as good as the Ducks are, and that was a really good win, the way that they really went to USC and, I mean, flexed their muscle. Is Florida State going to go down the road of hiring two Oregon coaches in a row after the last one was a disaster? He brings up Matt Rhule at Baylor, PJ Fleck at Minnesota, Matt Campbell, Iowa State. All Power 5 programs that are doing very well under those coaches, but those are not necessarily sexy hires at Florida State. Got down the list to Brian Harsin at Boise State, number 9. And Pete writes, Seminoles officials saw up close what a Harsin team looks like as the Broncos upset FSU in the opener this season. Harsin's 78% winning percentage is among the elite in college football, and he clearly could instill the needed discipline and offensive polish. The biggest question is, could he jump from Boise to the Deep South? I think Brian Harsin could win at Florida State. I think he has proven he is a smart enough coach. He's a disciplined enough coach. He runs the right type of program. I think Harsin could win at Florida State. I don't know if they'll get to wanting to hire somebody outside the Power 5 for the job, because I think there's a lot of ego involved in this hire. And I don't know if they're going to be willing to say, yeah, we need to bring up somebody that's only been in a group of five. I think they view it as such a good job that they'll take somebody from a Power 5 conference, a sexier name. But I do think Brian Harsin would do a very good job at Florida State and win. But outside of the money that they are willing to offer, and of course the inherent recruiting advantage, does Harsin want to leave a really good situation to Boise State, where they've got a strong administration, complete support, and are doing big things, to go to a place that's a complete mess? I mean, this is the problem. You're going to get candidates that look and say, boy, Florida State could be a good job, but what are my politics involved here? Are they all aligned? Is the AD and the chancellor and the athletic department and the football coach all aligned? Where are we with all of this? And I think that's going to scare off a lot of good candidates for this job. And it's the reason that there's no way Urban Meyer is coming back for that one. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Some other candidates that Pete Thamel brought up: Mark Stoops at Kentucky, Scott Satterfield at Louisville, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. Dan is next up. He's in Richmond, Virginia, listening on 106.1 of CBS Sports Radio. What up, Dano?
Hey, DA, can you do myself, and I'm speaking for every Browns fan in the world, can you please beam us up?
Yes, sir. Oh, God, is it ugly.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, Freddie has got to go. DA, he's a mess. He's an absolute mess. I know John Dorsey won't hire him, won't fire him 8 games in because it was kind of his hire. But he's got to go. I don't want to hear. I'm tired of hearing how good of a week they had in practice. Practice. That's his only line. Oh, we had a really good week in practice. Just didn't execute. Let me tell you what the problem is, DA. And I'll tell you what. The players know this as well. He has absolutely no in-game preparation or prepare. Like third down comes, and it's like he just doesn't know what to do. You know, he single-handedly lost that Seattle game. He lost that game last night. He should have kicked that field goal instead of going for it on fourth down, taking the 3 points, which would have put us within a field goal, and tell the defense, listen, I need a stand out of you. And they would have given us that. I know the defense was shaky last night, but they would have held them to a three and out. I mean, it was a first-time ever NFL quarterback, and they would have held them. But it's him.
It's beyond broken. Yeah, it's beyond broken. You're right, Dan. Because, number one, you can't keep saying we've just got to execute better every week for 8 weeks. Clearly, they're not executing, and you're the coach. So that's a problem. You need to get them on a better spot to actually execute. Number two, In-game management, you're right, complete and utter disaster. Complete and utter failure. Number three, Kitchens, I think, is resigned to knowing that he's going to be fired. And he should be. And that means the second half of the season is going to be a joke. I mean, next up, they host the Bills. Any way that they beat the Bills, I highly doubt it. Second half of the season, you still have a couple games against the Bengals. Okay, good. But you've got the Ravens and the Steelers as well. Twice the Steelers. This Browns season is going to be at best 6-10, and he's got to go after the year. By the way, how in the hell did the Browns put 40 on the Ravens? How did that happen a couple of months ago? When we come back, the lowest moment for the Jets in a quarter century.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.